Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We're down to 50 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Starts! Yes!
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
What a move by Starts!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Did Rick Ross drop his diss track responding to the game yet? Keith McPherson on The Fan. I don't care about that at all. That's a joke since Every Day I'm Hustling just dropped. We have gotten to the point from the Drake and Kendrick beef that now the game is taking shots at Officer Ricky. 877-337-6666. Hip hop. Yo, I saw something on Twitter a few hours ago when my show started, 2 hours ago, and I hope it's not true, but it goes back to what I was saying about Steve Cohen. So I don't know if you guys follow Foul Territory. It's a baseball podcast. Shout out to Scott Braun, Eric Kratz, Todd Frazier, AJ Przinski. Ran into those guys at the All-Star game last year, and they brought me on their show. And they've blown up since. I think it's one of the best baseball podcasts out there. And they have good social media as well. And they put out a tweet around 10:30 that said, "Did Steve Cohen just hint at the Mets selling at the trade deadline?" As I'm sitting here talking about what Cashman's going to do being buyers. And then it says Cohen later deleted the tweet. So Mets News and Links puts out a tweet that says, "Mac, some afterthoughts on last Sunday's Let's Blow It Up post." And then right under the post, like, right under the post, there's a screenshot where Steve Cohen replies to the tweet. And he says, "All in the future, not much we can do until trade deadline." And I laugh because Steve, right? People tell me to stop replying to people on Twitter. People tell me to ignore things on Twitter. I'm not a billionaire. Steve Cohen, get off Twitter. For real, delete the app. You don't have to do this. There's no reason to be posting and deleting. Showing up to the Knicks games, repping the Mets with the matching colors, sitting courtside, being seen. I get that. But the Twitter stuff is not helping. You have a tortured fan base that is in an era where you told them they'd win a World Series. You have a tortured fan base that's in an era where they thought your money was going to buy them a chip and that you would get the best players every year. You were going to get Judge. You were going to get Otani. You were going to get Yamamoto. And now there's a philosophy change, and that goes back to what I was saying before about Steve Cohen. This is a team and a franchise searching for an identity. And then you have a rookie owner who seems to be trying to find himself. Are you going to be money bags? No. Now you're going to be, I got the money, but I'm letting David Stearns do his thing. And I don't care if we lose right now. Last year, you said you weren't going to put a team out there that embarrasses us. Steve Cohen speaking about the Mets and the Mets fans. Aren't you a fan? That was the whole thing. You grew up a Mets fan. This is a passion project. You get to make Mets fans happy by retiring Doc Gooden's number. Putting a Tom Seaver statue out there. Bringing the black jerseys back. Old Timers Day. Queen's Best Dance Crew. 877-337-6666. Just get off the Twitter, bro. When I'm rich one day, when I'm famous one day, I'm not tweeting anymore. There's no point. I'm still building. I'm still becoming. I'm still interacting with people on Twitter that are like, you said Aaron Judge was hurt. Take it back. No, I'm not taking it back. Jim is in Hackettstown, New Jersey on the Fan. What's up, Jim? Hey,
good morning, Keith. Nice to speak to you. I usually call on the weekend, so I called early, you know, at the beginning of the year, and I, you know, listen, it's no big secret. I thought the Mets would be, you know, 500 team at best. Listen, the Phillies and the Braves aren't scared of the Mets, but that's not really what I want to say to others. So I mean, you have to explain something to me. This franchise does everything backwards. First of all, I don't know why they ought to have a 7 days a week. They might as well just have a different uniform for every day, number one. Number two, when I would call on the weekends, I couldn't understand why wouldn't they want to sign Pete Alonso? I mean, to me, he's the face of the franchise. At this point, if they're not going to sign him, they should definitely trade Lindor and him, and they should start all over. They should start from scratch.
I think they might as well. And I don't want to be premature with this, but you did start over by kicking Buck to the curb. He's not going to get another manager job. Billy Epler gets fired. It's the David Stearns era, so why not start from scratch? You can't just like...
And that's Keith, that's a great point, too. Okay, I'm not a Mets fan. I grew up being a Mets fan, and I'll tell you, I live here in New Jersey. I'm 61 years old, and the reason I was a Mets fan was because I had a black and white TV, Channel 9 came in good, and Channel 11 didn't. Okay? That's how I started
out. Simple as that.
Okay, so anyway, but good point there. So I don't understand, first of all, for Mets fans, they don't want Yankee players, right? They don't want Yankee players. They don't want Yankee managers. So they had Buck. Buck, I thought, was a little pompous. He's a little, you know, too full of himself, but whatever. You can't tell me Mendoza is going to be a better manager than Buck. Why?
No, and it was never about a better manager. It was getting the manager to do David Stearns' bidding that was not going to challenge him, that was not going to go against what he saw fit for the team, for the lineup. That day, they work together.
Yeah. So, I mean, would you agree that they don't seem like they want to sign Pete Alonso?
I mean, supposedly he turned down 7 years and over $150 million in the offseason. They have an owner that prints money.
That seems like a little awful offer. You know, I guess, you know, people want to, you know, complain about Pete Alonso. The guy does everything he wanted to do. He gets paid to hit home runs, gets paid to drive RBIs. I think since he's entered the league, he's in the top, I want to say he's in, I saw a stat, I think he's in the top three.
Home run hitters?
Of home runs and RBIs. So if he's doing exactly what you're paying for, you know, I don't know what he can expect, you know?
Yeah, he's not having a great start to a walk year where he's hired Scott Boris and is trying to be one of the higher paid first base. I don't know. He is the face of the franchise. But what I've said about Pete Alonso for these last couple years I've been on the Fan is that this guy has had to sit around and watch everybody else get paid around him.
Yeah, exactly. And listen, Judge wasn't so hot at the beginning of the year. Now his stats are looking pretty good.
Yeah,
right? So,
yeah, now that contract's looking like, hey, we're all right.
You know, that can happen a lot with Alonso pretty quick. But, you know, like you said, to me, he's the face of the franchise. He hasn't played for any other organization, but if they're gonna let him walk, then trade Lindor, and forget about getting Soto, because who the heck is gonna want to go to a team without Lindor?
that Soto conversation has evaporated. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Jim. Nobody is talking about Soto, and I tried to tell you I stopped that. Doesn't make any sense. Juan Soto's going to leave the Yankees that win every series, that are the best team in the American League, arguably, that are in first place, and say, yeah, I want to go across town to the dysfunctional Mets who, you know, the new owner comes in, promises World Series, then backtracks, get a new president of baseball operations, fires the legendary manager, fires Billy Epler, brings in this guy. This guy brings in a manager that was a bench coach for the Yankees, brings in a couple other former Yankee players, a couple other random guys that nobody's really heard of, but they actually should be better than they are, and you already have the existing contracts from the start of the Steve Cohen era, but now in the middle of this like 5-year window of the Steve Cohen era, it's the David Stearns era. And it seems like there's a disconnect between the players on the team. 877-337-6666. Like Jim just said, why the hell do they have to wear all these different uniforms? They're not a basketball team. It's like the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn Nets have like 5 different uniforms. And then this is the year that the uniforms are a joke. There's issues with Fanatics and Nike and the uniforms. The Mets have the gray uniforms, the white uniforms with the pinstripes, the blue uniforms, the black jerseys, the gray City Connect uniforms. I don't know, man. Somebody call me up and tell me. Maybe you guys know. 877-337-6666. Ted is down in Maryland on the Fan in New York.
Keith, how are you tonight?
I'm good. Thanks for checking in.
Good, good. Hey, no Rangers, no Knicks tonight, so forget them for a minute. Hey, Keith, congratulations. You're going to where very, very few people have gone. And listen, you have in the booth you're going. 161 in River. You're going to be where the great White and Rizzuto, they did some, they were in that booth. And then John Sterling and Michael Kay. And then, of course, Susan.
Mel
listen,
Allen.
Bro, congratulations, man. That is unbelievable.
Ricky Ricardo, Sweeney Murdy. Yeah, no, not for nothing. That did hit me. I was like, so many people dream of calling a Yankee game, and we all imitate John Sterling, and we all, you know, like have the thought of like calling these games and love the team. And it did hit me earlier today. I'm like, even if this is just 2 games and done, like my son is 1 right now. We're going to definitely record some of this and be like, hey, Dad called the game, was on the call, got to react to the Yankee game. I'm blessed. Like I said, I'm honored, I'm humbled, I accept the challenge. I never actually had this dream or thought to call the Yankees games. It doesn't seem like realistic. You know, maybe being a radio host, yeah, but not getting to do the call because John has done it for majority of my life, my whole life. And
Keith, you'll be great, and I'll tell you why. By the way, Phil Rizzuto, super fan. John Sterling, super fan. Michael Kay, Florida man, as myself, super fan. Don't worry about it. You kill it. You just go out there. You do your thing.
I promise I'm not losing any sleep. I'm not worrying about it at all.
Because
I just got to be myself, which I am. And, you know, I laughed at the reporter calling me a super fan. Like I won a sweepstakes to do this. Like, oh, yeah. Like I'm a kid caster. Like the kid casters that come in for the Mets, they have a kid come in and sit in on the broadcast. I'm not a kid caster. I'm a professional. Like I have a degree. I have years of experience now doing this, and I'm going to have a professional approach. It's not going to sound like these shows at night. We're going to call the game. It's going to be fun. I'm going to add my personality to it. But, yeah, I'm just thankful that people think highly enough of the person I am and the professional that I am and what I've done on this microphone to give me this chance.
Yes, by the way, we'll talk to you in 25 years from now, and we'll talk about this phone call.
I don't know.
Get it.
Thanks for the call, Ted. I'm glad you guys believe in me. Because as much confidence as I have in myself, as headstrong as I am, as much as I've been through in my life to make it, I don't project that far down the road. You can't. You know, life humbled me so many times. I don't do that. I can't project 25 years down the road. I'm happy to be on WFAN, bro. I'm happy to, you know, be able to get on MLB Network, on Yes Network. I'm hosting an event Sunday with Willie Randolph, where I'll be on stage, You know, and it's the universe never unconnects, man. It's God's plan. I'm just walking through the path that was set for me. You know, this Willie Randolph event was booked for 2 months. And if I would have known that I'd be calling a Yankee game and get to call the whole series, I wouldn't have had, you know, an event booked. But, hey, it is what it is, man. And I'm blessed to get to go back home to where I'm from and look at little kids that are little leaguers. Like when we did the Aaron Boone event at Baseline Social, I got to see these little kids. And these little kids are asking me to sign their hats and baseballs. And I'm like, nah, like I didn't play. You know, like this doesn't, you don't want me to sign this baseball or this hat that Boone signed, it devalues it. And they're like, nah, you're famous. You're on the radio. You just did great. No, sign this. Take a picture with me. And I'm just like, the biggest thing I wanted to tell those kids from my area is like, nah, I'm nobody. I'm becoming, I'm working still, but you could do it too. If anything, you should look at me and know that I went to Monmouth University right down the street. You should look at me and know that I played short conference football right around at all these high schools around here. You should look at me and know that I have driven around all these streets just like your parents drive you around. Like, I'm from here, and if I can make it there, I'll make it. Like, look at me and know that I came out of a single-parent household. I came out of a two-bedroom apartment with four people. I came out of, you know, low income. Like, I came out of my mom looking at me at 11 years old and my brother pretty much getting out of college at FIT and him having debt and having to pay back grants and student loans and stuff, and her looking at me at 11, 12 saying, I can't pay for you to go to school. Figure it out. And I'm like, okay. Well, I'm pretty good at football, basketball, baseball, and I watch college football. And I think one of the coaches told me at, you know, sixth grade peewee football, hey, you're pretty good. If you keep this up for another 4 or 5 years, you can get a scholarship offer. And, you know, the rest is history, man. I just want to use this platform to inspire people, bro, because I have been down in the dumps as a kid, struggling, not having money, not having my dad around, thinking that my dad didn't want me, thinking that I wasn't good enough. And then you get a little bit older, and life is hard. It's challenging. And you feel like nobody's looking out for you. You feel like nobody has your back. And when you don't have connections and you don't have nepotism and you don't have the funds, it is a struggle. And, you know, my brother being 10 years older than me, you guys have heard me cry on this radio station talking about losing my brother. Because that just, it ripped my heart out. But it made me work. And it made me appreciate every day. Especially here in New York, because my brother went to FIT. My brother moved up here to New York, changed his license to a New York license, started perpetrating, started pretending to be a New Yorker. I think a lot of what you hear from me is because I always try to be the opposite of my brother. I didn't want to go to school in the city. I didn't want to be up here. The city was scary. The city was expensive. The city was daunting to me. My brother moved to Queens. He lived in Astoria, and I came up and visited him there. And then he lived in Prospect Heights in Brooklyn, and I was visiting him there, and the whole time I'm like, man, I do not want to be up here unless I'm going to a Yankee game. I do not want to be up here. And then I ended up getting the Fan Cave opportunity in 2014. The Yankees became aware of me in 2014, living in New York, representing the Yankees in the Fan Cave. And I took that, and I got my job at MTV as a social media coordinator. I took that. I got my job at Fubo TV as a social media manager. I got my job at Roc Nation as a digital marketing manager, and I felt like a peon in those roles. I felt like I was a background cubicle guy that's just anonymously posting tweets and Instagrams and creating content, and they don't turn social media off. So I was always working every day and night anonymously, putting all this energy in for a little check. I was making like $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year at that time, and I got frustrated again, and I just quit my job and bought a new MacBook and a camera and taught myself how to edit videos. And like I said, I tell you guys all the time, I got the cheapest ticket to go to Yankee Stadium. I followed my heart. My true north was, hey, man, I love the Yankees. Like, if there's one reason I'm in New York, it's to go to Yankee Stadium. And if I could do anything, it's work in sports media and do something around the Yankees. And, you know, fast forward the last 10 years from the Fan Cave and these odd jobs, and you know, even when I quit my job and I have 700 Lyft Uber rides and worked at House of Q by the Weehawken Ferry and sold all my belongings from my Jordans to Yankees collector's items and, you know, would get on Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist and meet up with random people and drive random people around. It was all worth it, man. It was all worth it. So, you know, you could do it too if you want it bad enough. You could do it too if you really lock in and you refuse to lose and you take every opportunity and you make every connection and you stay humble and you stay working and you treat people right and you build and you just keep stacking brick by brick and you'll get opportunities that you didn't even set out to get. 877-337-6666. Mario out in Long Beach on the Fan in New York.
Hey, what's going on, Keith?
You know, just got to give people a dose of reality mixed in with you know.
Yeah, congratulations. What days are you going to be doing the color for the Yankees?
So officially tomorrow, Friday, the 17th, and then Saturday, the 18th.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's at Yankee Stadium,
well,
right?
Well, not Thursday because they play in Minnesota today at 1:10 p.m. And I know we always play the game at night. Like, it's technically 1:23 a.m. Thursday. I will be on tomorrow, Friday night, in the Boogie Down Bronx, my favorite night to go to the stadium. Coincidentally, it'll be my first opportunity on the mic, May 17th, Yankees hockey jersey night, and then I'll follow it up. I'll drive home as fast as I can, go to sleep, wake up the next morning, drive right back to the stadium for Saturday, and those will be my first two chances to speak during the Yankee broadcast. It might be one series and done, but I'm going to make the most of it. I'm thankful for it, and I'm ready for the challenge.
Congratulations. I have a comment about the Knicks, but before that, I was just looking at a question about football since you played, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just heard that Lamar is coming in at 205 this year. He was 235 2 years ago. And you know, it's really funny because I'm watching right now a YouTube video, and it's highlights, right? And it starts from when he started in the beginning. And I noticed that he was a lot quicker when he first came into the league. Not that he isn't fast now. So maybe he wants to go back to that, saying, hey, man, I want to get that quickness. I think he came in, you know what his 40 time was when he came in the league? It was insane. 4.23.
Yeah, it was low 4.2s. I've watched Lamar from high school with that video that went viral of him stopping short of the goal line, the guy flying by him and walking in. When he was coming out of Louisville, he was dominating, won the Heisman, and you know, not bad for a running back, huh? They wanted to convert him to a running back. He says he's down to 205. He's dropped 25 pounds. I don't understand the bulking because when I watch him play, nobody gets a squared up hit on him. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody lines him up. He's too shifty. He's too fast. Nobody ever really smacks Lamar Jackson. Like, I cannot recall a time where somebody really, like, put him on his ass because he's the best athlete on the field. Nobody can square him up to tackle him like that.
Keith, you're so right on that because if they try to do that, they'll hit air.
Right.
They're so worried about it.
He's going to embarrass you. You're going to whiff.
Man, did you see? I've seen at least six times in some of his things that he made such a good move that the guy didn't even tackle him, didn't even touch him, and they made him fall. Did you see that a lot? How many times have you seen that? Like, when playing, where you make somebody fall with a move, you know?
He's a different level of athlete out there.
Do you think they can win the Super Bowl this year? I'll let you go. Have a good one, buddy.
Thanks for the call, Mario. I do think I thought they could have won it this year. They were the best team in the NFL this year. It wasn't the Chiefs. With King Henry, pick your poison. And now Lamar is trying to lose weight, so what? He can get in the open field and outrun everybody? Like, with Todd Monken, now we're about to start talking football. With Todd Monken coming in and changing that offense, you know, the whole thing that we talked about with their elimination game was, what happened? Why didn't they run the ball? Remember former Jet Dalvin Cook was over there? We're like, they lost all their running backs. Their running backs got hurt. They were, you know, they abandoned the run, and it seemed like Lamar was out to prove he could be a pocket passer. It seemed like he was trying to prove to everyone, this is a two-time MVP. And obviously, the threat that he possesses, the biggest threat that he is to defenses is when it breaks down, you guys can't tackle him. And if he ends up in the open field, you can't catch him either. But he's improved so much throwing the ball. I feel like Todd Monken and him were trying to show the world, not bad for a running back. Like, this guy's a passer. He can throw the ball. And it's like, that's not it. Like, run the ball. Running the ball, it gives you time of possession. It wears the defense down. And that was your strength. So I think this year they're going to get back to running the ball, obviously with Derrick Henry. But Derrick Henry's up there in years. I don't know exactly what he's going to be. And I really don't know why, you know, let me see. I think I did have some notes a few days ago, but it just didn't come up. Yeah, I had a note saved. Reigning NFL MVP Lamar Jackson is down to 205. I'm 205. I think Lamar's a little bit taller than me. It's more pace and less stress on his body joints. So he's going back to where he was in 2019. He's looking to add, I don't know, I guess he's just trying to be faster, shiftier, and he probably is going to get back to running the ball on teams. 877-337-6666. One more call before we break. Tom's in Pennsylvania. Tom, you're on the Fan in New York.
Can you hear me, Keith?
Yes, sir. I got you loud and clear.
All right, excellent. Hey, so we come from vastly different backgrounds. You know, I live in Pennsylvania. You know, I have privileged in a way, like that my parents are always around, and but I'm talking about my kids, right? So my son is 17, he's a high school quarterback. He doesn't want to do what you do. He wants to be an engineer like me. Okay, so and he will be very skilled, but that's not my question. A lot of his friends want to go out, and they want to go to school, maybe Syracuse, maybe whatever school it takes. They want to do a career like you. And I guess what I wanted to ask you is the effort it took you to get to where you're at. Is it effort? Is it skill?
It's a combination of both. Because, I mean, some people have it and some people don't. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people have the talent and they waste it. Some people have the work ethic and not the talent, but that'll get them there.
But I think, if I'm not correct, or maybe I am correct, but most of the people that get into that career, it's not going to be they're not going to be famous in it. You know what I mean?
It's a grind. You got to do a lot of different odd jobs and things. You got to take a small market radio job. You got to learn the behind the scenes stuff. What I'll say is the internet changed it all. Having the internet where you could put yourself out there changed it. I was doing something else. I was doing social media. I thought at this time in my life, I would be a social media director. I'd be head of marketing somewhere in New York City. I thought I would be in a corporate job still, just climbing the ladder that way. But I saw the internet, and I saw people rising on the internet that I'm like, this is what I went to school for. These people don't know the first thing about... You know, I'm a DJ as well. I know audio equipment. I used to work at Guitar Center. Like, I could wire up, like, sound systems. I could wire up my whole DJ rig. Like, I know the inner workings of microphones and speakers and stuff like that. So I'm looking at people that are starting these podcasts and doing these things with no type of, and I'm like, all right, I gotta, that's why I quit my job, and I'm like, I gotta try. I have to try.
So you're telling me a vast experience across the board is useful.
Absolutely. Especially, like, you know, you got to have a true north. Like I said, I knew what my true north was, but you got to be adding different things. Like, I learned how to edit videos. I did freelance social media work in the city. I've been behind the camera. I've taken photography or done photography, taking pictures of people, videography, editing videos, teaching people how to, you know, schedule their social media, how to, you know, use ads, how to, you know, just do a bunch of different things. And, you know, the more you know like that, the more you understand the inner workings, the more it prepares you. Like, I wasn't prepared for this job out of college. I also wasn't prepared for this job 5 years ago now it's 6 years, which is crazy. I kind of just kept stacking. That's why I kept saying, like, stack bricks of, like, expertise and knowledge and connections and information, and it'll all help you. Even, like, the stories I tell you guys, I didn't have all these stories 10 years ago and things like that. It all helped me become, you know, a better host and, like, better on camera and more of a well-rounded media member.
So it's obviously hard work. I mean, I hear that in your voice all the time. But, I mean, how long are you out of college till where you are now? Is it worth 15 years?
I graduated 2011, and it took exactly 10 years to get into WFAN and have a full-time radio job with my communication radio television degree. It took a decade.
So where do you want to be in 5 years?
You know, people ask me that, and especially people in the industry ask me that. People in television, people in radio, people in sports and broadcasting. And I'm like, I don't know, because I think I can do a lot of different things, and the landscape is changing. Like, we are looking now where, like, all of these, like, FanDuel TV, DraftKings Sports Network, they're like, these podcasts have turned into television shows on YouTube. There are kids making $500,000 a year doing six-hour-long live streams on Twitch, on Kick, on YouTube, you know what I'm saying? On going live on TikTok for 6 hours. The platform is different. The technology is different. In 5 years, I can't say where I want to be, because, like, I don't think radio and television will ever die. It'll keep adapting. But, like, there's going to be just a different focus and a different landscape for how we digest sports and content and conversations.
But as a listener, if you heard your voice, if you were me, when you talked about the Yankees, the glimmer in your voice says that's where you want to be.
Out of all of the sports and my teams, I'm a Yankee fan first, and what you hear is the Yankees in my heart from being a child. Like, so much of this sports fandom goes back to being a kid and how you feel. Like, look at the Knicks fans right now. Some of these Knicks fans they're feeling alive like they've never felt alive, because it's taking them back to the 90s when they were kids. So, you know, that's the thing with me. When I started watching the Yankees and playing Little League Baseball and cutting on the TV, they won everything. You want to RWTW, roll with the winners. So the Yankees have my heart. I would love to keep doing things with the Yankees. I would love to keep being able to go to Yankee games for free and, like, be known as someone in the Yankee universe. I've been in all pockets of the Yankee universe. I've sat in every section of that stadium. It's crazy now to say I'll be on the call for the game, but I can't say in 5 years I want to be the everyday, you know, color person, or I want to be Michael Kay or on TV for the yes. I don't know. There might be a grander opportunity for me, or I might fall into something else, or somebody else might come along and offer me something. I don't know. I didn't know this was coming.
Yeah, well, I'm way older than you. I'm 55. My son's 17. I've been a Yankee fan since I can remember. So since WPIX came around the Poconos, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and Knicks, too. I'm a Knicks fan. Sorry. I know you're a Nets fan. So.
No, don't have to apologize to me. Knicks are an underdog story. Thanks for the call, Tom. I'm an underdog story. I went on the Morning Brew Sports podcast today, and they were giving it up. They're like, bro, Nets fans aren't talking about the Knicks like this. I'm like, yeah, because they're putting their butt-hurtness and their pain from the Nets in front of the fact that this is a underdog story. This is a group of guys that were not starters. This is a group of guys that were not the favorites. Nobody wanted these guys. These were underestimated players, counted out. Man, I can relate to that. And that's why I'm looking at these guys one game away from the Eastern Conference Finals, like, go New York, go New York, go.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned, and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Thank you. You're far too kind. I appreciate y'all, man, for real. I mean, even people on Twitter during the breaks, I'm going and checking Twitter. And, you know, as negative as people can be on Twitter and as just, like, crabby and hateful, like, I even went back and I resurfaced the tweet today from when WFAN announced that I'd be taking over the nighttime slot. Because it does not matter. I do not care. Trust me, I don't care at all. Like, my mom is proud of me. My wife is proud of me. My brother is looking down, super proud of me. Like, I don't care what random people that won't even show their face on Twitter have to say, but I bookmark stuff. So, I put that back out there today, you know, breaking as announced on Carton and Roberts. Keith McPherson is joining WFAN as a 7 p.m. to midnight host effective November 22nd. And I said, it's always fun to look back at the replies and quote tweets in times like this. And I was actually in Puerto Rico at the time because I'm the type of baseball nerd that doesn't go on Baseball Savant or Fangraphs, but gets married and drags my wife to the All-Star game instead of our honeymoon. So I owed my wife a couple trips, and one of those trips was to go to Puerto Rico at the end of the year we got married. And they wanted to push the button to say, hey, we need to announced this. I think it was really Steve. Shout out to Steve Summers. Steve knew that I was coming in, and he had already made his decision to retire and bow out, and he didn't want to wait any longer. I'm done. Like, I'm not waiting for this kid to come back from Puerto Rico. Like, hit it. Like, I want to do my final schmooze. I want the press release. Like, I'm done. Like, we're not going to wait. So I remember getting that call, and I mean, boy, I cried tears that I had never cried before. And then they dried right up when I saw the Twitter response. I was like, well, damn, they are hating on me. Who is this guy? He's got no radio experience, a podcaster. this guy's going to suck. WFAN's going downhill. And I'm just like, well, damn. And, you know, fast forward now, how many nights and weeks and shows and topics and takes and calls and people I've been able to interview on the Fan and, you know, everything else. I just look back on some of those reactions and I equate them to some of the reactions this time around with the announcement that I'll get a chance to call the Yankee game. And I think it was 75% positive. But of course, my mom is looking and my wife is looking and my wife is like sending me screenshots of the like funny haters that like are in between. And I'm like, listen, I had no idea how to host a 5-hour radio show on WFAN. I was critical of myself. I thought I was terrible for about the first 2-3 months. I couldn't sleep at night. I would go home like a dummy and like all my shows would get podcasted and I would listen back to them and just like critique myself. And I would even tell Spike, I would like be like telling on myself. Obviously Spike wasn't staying up listening to my shows, but I'm like, man, I did this wrong. But I got better, whatever. And eventually I learned. I got into the flow and the rhythm of knowing how to do this. And, you know, this will be my first time filling in for Susan, and I've listened to her hundreds of times, but nobody can be Susan. Nobody can do her job, but I trust the folks at WFAN and the producer, Matt Shortis, and Justin Shackle will be calling the game, that they'll have my back, and I'll be professional about it, and I'll try my best, and we'll get through the game Friday and Saturday, and it won't be too bad. 877-337-6666. And you know what? If it's only two games calling the Yankees, maybe they'll put me in there to call the Mets instead. Webster's in Orlando. Webster, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? Thanks for taking my call, man.
Yes, sir.
I will basically just want to talk a little about the Mets because I've been listening to you all night, and I want to give a kind of perspective being a Mets fan and just like. I remember back, I became a Mets fan in 1986 after they won the World Series. And I want to say this, that it was a Mets town. I mean, the Yankees, all they had was Don Mattingly type of game. You know, Dwight Gooden had a picture up there, right there in Times Square. My point by saying all that, I think, is in the beginning of the show, you were talking about mismanagement, right? And the restaurant's bad, you know, management in my correct by saying that in the beginning of the show?
Yeah, I was making an analogy that, like, when there's dysfunction in the team, it starts at the top. And, like, same thing, you know, the analogy is the restaurant. If the restaurant's got bad service or it's not clean, it's like, look at the manager. Who's running the show? There's a disconnect.
Exactly. Well, the reason I say that is because, I mean, and talked about the Yankees, you know, with the Met town back in the 80s, is it was because, actually, you know, look what Steinbrenner did. And then once they kicked out Steinbrenner, and I think it was Dean McMichael, right, was the GM. And then, well, look what he did.
Yeah.
But in all the talent, right, all the from the homegrown farm.
Didn't let George trade away homegrown talent that became Hall of Famers.
Exactly. Look at, like, Jeter, Pettit, Mariano Rivera, Bernie, you know, all those guys. So when I look back at being a Mets fan, who are my guys that I got jerseys of Mets in my closet? Daryl. I got Gooden. I got, you know, David Wright, Jose Reyes. I mean, you know, even to this day, you know, who's my favorite Mets? Pete Alonso. But my point is, when I hear, you know, people gigging or you know, talking bad about Steve Cohen, I mean, he realized last year, you know what? Having the attitude of, you know, spending money, having the highest payroll in baseball didn't work. So you know what? You can't do that if you have a dysfunctional franchise going on. So he just came in a few years ago, got to clean it up.
I hear you.
And, you know, and that's what I mean. Being, you know, look at the Yankees from, what, 1978, took them to 1996. They did it.
Thanks, Webster. We were underwater with the call. I wanted you to get your point across, and you did. And I'll say this. I don't fault Steve Cohen. I was live on air as those moves were happening. 5 days before the trade deadline, they waved the white flag and they trade David Robertson for two kids. And I said, oh, after that, I'm like, no other owner in baseball could do this or would do this, eat those contracts. And even Steve Cohen not running from the media and coming out to talk, you know, he said, we had a 14% chance of making the postseason. Those are pretty crummy odds. He told you hope is not a strategy. He told you, I'm not trying to put a team out there that's going to embarrass us, speaking himself as a Mets fan for Mets fans. But man, it is May, and like to be in this reverse course of I think there are a lot of smart Mets fans that understand it's a process now. It's going to take time to build this thing through a smart Ivy League guy like David Stearns and with Steve Cohen trusting the process. But it just sucks as a fan because you look forward so much to a fresh season. You look forward in the early on part of the season of winning games and feeling like you have a chance. And that gets you through May, June, July. It sucks to go through a season where, you know, for the Yankee fans, we don't have this much. But like last year, it was a struggle. I was off the roller coaster, quote unquote, July 17th. After they blew that series against Colorado, I had had it. I'm like, this team finds ways to lose. They're not going anywhere. And it just sucks for the Met fan to have to feel that so much. It sucks for the Met fan to feel like the other shoe is always going to drop. It's never going to pan out. It's never going to work out. Even with getting away from the Wilpons, even with, you know, having the David Stearns president of baseball operations, even with having some guys with some big money contracts that are talented, even with the rotation performing better than you thought with the Luis Severino and a young Christian Scott and, you know, Kodai Senga coming back and David Peterson coming back and having some different options. Like, it's just not good enough. You're still getting smacked by the Phillies. The Braves aren't afraid of you. And it's like, man, we were this close to feeling like the tide turned. 2022, we thought that we had it. We were the gold standard. We were the Kings. We were the ones winning 101 games. The make it happen Mets, beating the Dodgers, beating the Phillies. And then when it comes down to it, you have a series to beat the Braves and you can't do it. They come back at a ridiculous clip and barely win the division. And it's like, man, the more things change, the more things stay the same. How long do we actually have to wait this time around? Chris is in Bergen County. Coach, talk to the people. You're back on the Fan.
What up, eh?
You know where I'm at. Yeah, I know. You've been telling me for a few weeks about the Mets. And I've been trying to feed you optimism, but I'm not doing that tonight.
No, I'm optimistic myself. I just wish, as an organization, we would just shut our mouths and do what we need to do. Stop telling me we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and then turn around and do something else. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of them flip-flopping back and forth. We're going to win in 5 years. We're going to rebuild it. We're going to bring this guy in. We're going to get rid of him. What are we doing? There's zero consistency. And to be honest with you, like you guys have been talking, and I wasn't going to call tonight, but I'm just fed up. Like you said, the uniforms, there's no consistency. There's no consistency in the front office. There's no consistency on the field. There's nothing anymore. Can we please have some type of tradition? Something I can hold on to. Because right now, I have nothing.
Yeah, it's just too all over the place, like you just said. It's too many different starting pitchers already, too many different jersey combos, too many different lineup configurations, too many different guys in the outfield, already too many different GMs and managers and too many different philosophies, and it doesn't work, right? You have a Francisco Lindor, $300 million man. Now you have a Pete Alonso who's like, hey, I want to get paid, but I'm not really balling out like that. Nimmo got paid, but he got paid as a center fielder. And then you signed Bader to be a center fielder, and he's a left fielder / center fielder. It's too many mixed signals, mixed directions, and that's why you can't be consistent on the field. That's why they take a step forward and then two steps backwards, because it's disconnected.
Yeah, it's unsustainable, you know, and I'm kind of upset with it because I honestly and truly thought that Cohen was different. and he can make good decisions. And he was a good guy in terms of doing that stuff. But right now, dude, take control of your franchise. Do what you got to do. Bring somebody in and just give them the control and stop talking about it.
Yeah.
The best CEOs are the ones that you never hear from.
Yeah, that's what he's doing with David Stearns, but like he's got to fall back.
But he needs to just
let Stearns do it. Don't tweet. Like I know you're supporting New York showing up to the Knicks games. The Knicks are the best run franchise. They look like the smartest franchise in the city. But you know he's got no shame. He's showing up. Yeah, I mean, stay down till you come up. It can happen. You put the pieces in place, it could happen. Thanks for the call, Chris. Last call of the night goes to Barry and Brick. Barry, you might have 30, 40 seconds.
Hey. How you doing? You know, I just want to say I miss John Sterling. You know, I'm not sure who's announcing now. You know, but
Emmanuel Babari has been on these last couple games. 25-year-old young kid out of Fordham. He's good. He's coming into his own. And Justin Shackle is the guy who'll be on with me this weekend. He's 35. He's also good, Fordham groomed, and you know they are classically trained professional broadcast type guys,
but meaning they're not going to be like John Sterling. They're not going to be like wacky.
Nolan is. No, John is 101, and he did it his way.
Yeah, you know, I'm still hoping that he'll make like a guest appearance and broadcast a game or two here and there.
I said right away, I hope the Yankees are so good that they do get to the World Series.
Yeah.
And John does have the itch, and he does game one at Yankee Stadium.
Oh my gosh,
how dude, sick would that be?
That'll be incredible. Like, you know, like his homage, like, you know, his final goodbye, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just being, you know, this is John Sterling. Good night, everyone. You know, like just hearing
just
that.
Just come back and do a World Series game and say the Yankees win after just one game. That'd be awesome. Thanks for the call, Barry. And, you know, it's funny. I listened to John on Saturday, and he's like, this must be terrible for people that hate me. Like, even John Sterling is aware that not everybody loves him. You don't get unanimous love, but if you work hard and you carve out your own lane and you find your own voice and you do your own thing, you'll be remembered and you'll be respected and you'll ultimately be loved. So C-Max coming up next. He's gonna rock through the rest of the night. I'll be back tomorrow with a 5-hour KM to AM. Thanks for listening. I'm out of here. Bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.